Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Now that the holidays are over, you might be feeling like you've got a big spending hangover. The drinks, the holiday food, the gifts, it all adds up. Luckily, Mint Mobile is here to help you cut back on overspending on wireless this January with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Mint Mobile's end of year sale is still going on, but only until the end of the month. Cut out big wirelesses, bloated plans, and unnecessary monthly charges with 50% off 3, 6, or 12 months of unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Or leave some of them behind if you want. Maybe that's one thing you can do in the new year. Leave some of these people behind. Nina, here at Crooked Media, she declared her love for Mint Mobile right here in the studio. She genuinely loves the service and tells everyone they should make the switch so they can take advantage of the monthly savings, just like Nina. This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Plans start at $15 per month at mintmobile.com/loveit. That's mintmobile.com/loveit. Limited time offer, upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for a 12-month plan required, which is $15 per month equivalent, taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only over 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. We're back, 2026, starting off. We have got a great show for you tonight. George Tavares is here. Andy Kindler is here. They're going to help me be the arbiters of what's good. And Jamila Jamil is here. She'll join us for the best roundup of the worst trends. Then we will kick off our new year with some new peeves. All right. But first, let's get into it. What a week. Sure. As we bid farewell to old man 2025, we wondered what kind of year would 2026 be. Sure, it would begin with us dutifully attending to our new wellness routines, which I assume for you, like me, involves a selection of different morning powders blended into a chalky green smoothie that can best be described as a non-Newtonian health fluid. But it wasn't long before we had our answer. 2026 would be a year with a war for oil in Venezuela and state violence on the streets in Minneapolis. The news was enough to make you feel sick to your stomach, worried you might throw up the combination of collagen, creatine, probiotics, fiber, protein, and pulverized vegetables your body barely wanted you to keep down anyway. And I know we're at a comedy show, but we're also in America. We can't just crack jokes and goof around and have the time of our lives. This isn't Riyadh. On Wednesday morning, a masked ICE officer shot and killed a woman named Renee Nicole Good in her Honda Pilot on a suburban Minneapolis street shortly after she dropped off her 6-year-old son at an elementary school nearby. When Good's death hit the news, the Trump administration began lying about it almost instantly. Trump wrote on Truth Social, "The woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer, who seems to have shot her in self-defense. Based on the attached clip, it is hard to believe he is alive, but is now recovering in the hospital." Trump concluded this post by saying, "I'd say more, but they're telling me I can't use my phone in the MRI machine for my weekly still perfect exam." Everyone having a camera in their pocket at all times means you can ruin your entire life for splitting your pants while bending over to pick up a hot dog you dropped at Dodger Stadium, or for demanding good service at a Dunkin' Donuts even though it happens to be Christmas. But it also means we can compare what the administration says to what we can see with our own eyes. Video of the incident from multiple angles shows the driver turning to get around the ICE agent who positioned himself in front of the car, and we can see the ICE agent shooting as the car passes him. On Thursday, J.D. Vance spoke to the press from the White House, furious about, of course, the press coverage.
And this is the headline. I'm just going to read it. Outrage after ICE officer kills U.S. citizen in Minneapolis.
Now, that is a completely factual description of what is happening. So what's the problem?
What that headline leaves out is that that woman is part of a broader left-wing network to attack, to dox, to assault, and to make it impossible for our ICE officers to do their job.
I too hate when the headlines leave out the part that I wish were true, like how I was voted off Survivor first because my penis is too big. Kept tripping over it, hard enough to run in the sand. But then when pressed on what we actually see in the video, Vance goes full postmodern.
I mean, you presumably watched the video yourself. You still believe that she deliberately tried to ram him despite seeing this video?
Look, I don't know what is in a person's heart or in a person's head, and obviously we're not going to get the chance to ask this woman what was going on. What I am certain of is that she violated the law.
Vance described it as an attack. He said she was a deranged leftist, part of a vast network. He said she aimed her car at the officer. He said she tried to hit him. You don't get to do wild speculation and then say, I'm not going to do wild speculation. The horse is out of the barn. The toothpaste is out of the tube. The flight you booked is non-refundable, and it is at 6 a.m., as if you didn't know what that would feel like the night before. And after repeatedly lying about this woman, the vice president had the audacity to tell the media to turn down the temperature by sticking to his story.
One of the ways we tone down the temperature is to have a media that tells the truth. I encourage you all to do that.
This from a man who moments before said this.
This is classic terrorism.
This is classic terrorism. This is diet terrorism. Over here we have terrorism zero. I like diet caffeine-free terrorism as a treat before bed. Vance seems genuinely more angry about the headlines than about the tragedy itself, and he is hectoring us about respecting the facts and turning down the temperature when he works for Donald Trump. It's like Guy Fieri's spokesperson coming to the podium and shaking his head and saying in sadness, I think we can all agree to chill out with the donkey sauce. Your boss is the source of the donkey sauce. He's the reason we're all slathering on the donkey sauce in the first place. But what do you do when everyone on the planet can see the moral catastrophe you've created? Well, you quickly start painting a picture of the victim that permits conservatives to not feel bad about her death, a fun break between all the hours of your children not speaking to you. Here's Jesse Waters pointing out to Fox News viewers that Renee Nicole Good would have made their Thanksgivings feel weird.
The woman who lost her life was a self-proclaimed poet from Colorado with pronouns in her bio, a 37-year-old white woman named Renee Good. The Daily Mail says she leaves behind a lesbian partner and a child from a previous marriage.
Yeah, man, she probably wouldn't have liked you either. Also, self-proclaimed poet, as opposed to what, a board-certified poet? And if being divorced and bisexual were a capital offense, all the best Real Housewives would be up against the wall. Good's ex-husband told a local Minnesota news outlet that Good was a devout Christian who went on mission trips in high school and had just recently relocated to Minneapolis. Worth noting, it was in September that a Presbyterian pastor was hit in the head by a non-lethal round during a peaceful protest in Chicago, and that across America, many protesters putting themselves in harm's way have done so because they believe their Christian faith demands it, which is obviously stupid. Jesus loves what Trump is doing to immigrants, and he wants people to ask Grok to take Nancy Pelosi's clothes out of that picture of her with JFK. That's what God wants. Grok, show me Nancy Pelosi in an invisible bikini. There's someone I follow online who is either an expert or no one, and he goes by the Happy Urbanist, and he writes about urban planning, and he made a point that I think is worth applying here about the difference between active errors and latent errors. An active error is when a person jaywalks across a busy road, but the latent error is when a street is designed so terribly and a crosswalk is so far out of the way that everybody takes a shortcut. So often, when we're talking about the news, we're talking about the active errors. The shooting is the active error. I watched the footage. My view is it could be any of us, a scared person who tried to drive away from ICE. And it's absurd to suggest that she was trying to hurt anybody and not just get away from these masked agents. And then you have an officer who himself had been in an incident where he was dragged by a car last year, reacting in a heated moment. Totally possible. The ICE agent thought he was about to be hit by this car and acted. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it wasn't against protocol. You can be scared and still in the wrong. No one knows that better than me, a coward with strong opinions. But then there's the latent error. That ICE agent should never have been in front of that car because that's the direction cars go. Don't create a situation that you can't escape without murdering somebody. That's a rule I try to follow in my day-to-day life. And look at me so far, zero murders in all my 32 years. More broadly, that ICE agent is part of a force that is radicalizing before our eyes, that is obviously internalized in us versus them mentality, that is now protected by the anonymity of masks and the knowledge that the administration and its friends in the media will defend anyone on their team, no matter the facts, all while being deployed by a president who wants us riled up and at each other's throats. This shooting is the active error. Donald Trump is the latent error. He is creating the underlying conditions that make events like this possible. People are people. Individuals will make mistakes or worse in the heat of a confrontation. Individuals will give in to fear and anger and make assumptions. Situations will escalate. We can analyze this single incident all we want, but meanwhile, Trump is radicalizing our society, lying about cities being war zones and deploying the military in response, claiming local leaders who defy him should be arrested. He is creating a culture in which federal agents go door to door wearing masks in an American city. He's also creating a culture in which people who get plastic surgery want it to look like they got plastic surgery. But that's less important right now. Of course there is anger. Of course there is protest. Of course ordinary people are standing up to this. This is America. When asked this week in an interview with the New York Times if Trump felt that there were any limits on his power, the president replied, "Yeah, there is one thing, my own morality, my own mind. It's the only thing that can stop me." Look, I agree. Trump's brain will ultimately place a limit on his authority, especially if that blood clot in his leg comes up for a visit. But he's not all powerful, and these policies are not popular. We do not live in the world Trump and Vance describe, and we can all see that with our own eyes. 2026 is starting rough, but it will end with a midterm election where we finally get to have our say. So let's all keep our resolutions. We'll figure out how many Bulgarian split squats it takes to get a butt like that Russian in heated rivalry. And drink more water and clean out that one drawer filled with nonsense. And most importantly, finally get those moles checked. And then we'll resolve not to be discouraged. These people are bullies. When they say turn down the temperature, they don't plan to modify their behavior at all to stop smearing their enemies or lying or breaking the law. What they mean is for us to shut up and take it, to be dominated, to accept reality as they describe it. But that's just not going to happen because in 2026, our world and our butt are what we make it. Generous, welcoming, and juicy as hell. All right. We have got a great show tonight. Coming up next, it's comedians George Tavares and Andy Kindler, but we'll let them be the judge of that. All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. Therapy can help you more easily identify what weighs you down or holds you back by offering an unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions. Look, we all face obstacles in life that you have to let go of. Mm-hmm. Either I get over them, mm-hmm. go under them,
yep.
or just around them, you know? That's the thing about obstacles. Or sometimes say, you know what? I'm not going that way. Too big of an obstacle. That's okay too sometimes. Sometimes, you know, life is about saying, this was too hard.
Yeah.
And I simply refuse.
And I'm done.
You know? It's not always the best ending for a movie.
No.
But life isn't a movie.
Life is not a movie.
And in life, you need therapy. BetterHelp is quality therapists who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works! With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews, BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Sundays. Out with the old, in with the new. It's that time of year, right? Question for you. How old is that giant bag of kibble you brought for your dog that you're still serving to them? I bet you don't even know. And that's a problem. The solution? It's Sundays. Sundays was founded by a veterinarian and mom, Dr. Tori Waxman, who got tired of seeing so-called premium dog food filled with fillers and synthetics. So she designed Sundays, air-dried, real food made in a human-grade kitchen using the same ingredients and care you'd use to cook for yourself and your family. Every bite of Sundays is clean and made with 100% meat and superfoods with no kibble. That means no weird ingredients you can't pronounce and no fillers. Compared to kibble or other brands out there, Sundays invest 50 times more in its ingredients to ensure premium quality because your dog deserves food made with care, not in the interest of cost-cutting. And the best part, you just scoop and serve. No freezer, no thawing or prep, no mess, just nutrient-rich, clean foods that fuel the happiest, healthiest days so you get more of them to share together. We're huge fans of Sundays, and air-dried dog food is great. It's the best of both worlds because it doesn't come out of the fridge, but it also is healthy and doesn't feel like the kibble. So your dogs will love it. They'll feel better. They'll have a spring in their step.
They sure will.
Make the switch to Sundays. Go right now to sundaysfordogs.com/loveit30 and get 30% off your first three orders. Or you can use code LOVEIT30 at checkout. That's 30% off your first three orders at sundaysfordogs.com/loveit30. sundaysfordogs.com/loveit30 or use code LOVEIT30 at checkout.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage two men of who combined form... No, I'm not saying this. What does this mean? Why does this form a perfect John Lovett? I haven't even seen that. Andy Kindler and George Tavares. I don't know what that means. Hi. Good to see you. Hi.
Good to see you.
Welcome.
Hi. You know, one thing is, I talked into the can of water.
Talked into the drink.
It's not easy doing comedy when there's tragedies. And this is a true story. I did the night of the first Gulf War. I was at Grandpa's Comedy Club in Staten Island, right? Mm-hmm. And so the guy says, "Don't talk about the war." Oh, yeah, I'm really going to talk about the war on Staten Island. It's like, "You people, we armed Saddam Hussein. Put down your slices of pizza."
And I just want to say, I did a drag brunch after Donald Trump was elected. And the performer after me, the finale of the performance to Florence and the Machine, by the way, was that she took off her shirt and "Nasty Woman" was written in red paint. So that's a real sort of sign of the times.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I was a creative director for the whole thing.
Yeah. I also just love just sort of like, man, just the sentence I was at, was it called Grandpa's?
Grandpa's Comedy Club, and Al, the guy from the Munsters, Grandpa Al Lewis, I don't know his name. He was involved in the club.
But I there's a whole world of, I was on Staten Island at Grandpa's Comedy Club in the 90s at the start of the Gulf War. It's like, man, Andy, you've been fucking in it.
That's right. I've been a part of it. I was defending Clinton at some point.
Yeah. Remember when we used to do that?
Yes.
That was crazy.
You've actually fought in the Gulf War. Is that correct?
I fought in the Gulf War.
And we won. Yeah.
George, you have a new comedy special.
I do. Thank you.
A Sense of Urgency. It's great. I watched it.
Thank
it's
you.
Great.
Thank you.
It's very funny.
I have this thing, I keep accidentally saying thank you before someone compliments me. And it's like the worst, you feel like the biggest asshole when someone's like, "So you have a new special out." And I'm like, thank you.
I think it's Kathy Griffin believes you can say congratulations to any person in Los Angeles at any time.
Yes.
And rather than saying about what, they'll say thank you.
Yes.
Because they assume everyone knows how much they're getting done.
It is Kathy Griffin. I've been telling that story for years and I thought it was Tina Fey, but now you're absolutely right that it's Kathy Griffin.
And I love it. I think about it all the time because if somebody says congratulations, it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, in the special, you talk about how you're medically dumber since the pandemic.
Correct.
And that, now, do you think that's long COVID or do you think it's the vaccines?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think it's more so, it's the vaccines interacting with being gay, I think. There's something about, I think, like, skipping the natural kind of steps of aging. When, you know, we're not, like, I haven't had children. I haven't, like, bought a home. Like, you're kind of like, I'm kind of goo goo gaga still.
Yeah, well, you've talked about that as well. Well, so yeah, there's just maybe we're just getting older and our brains are calcifying.
But I don't remember if this is actually in the special, but I wrote that joke because there was a point when I thought to myself, I'm hungry, what should I have for dinner? And then I realized I was inside a restaurant sitting. And I know that sounds like I'm making it up as like some funny, but I was like so brain dead that I was like not able to appreciate that I was currently in a restaurant for dinner.
Every once in a while in a restaurant, don't you feel like you should be able to, like, listen, I go to restaurants so much, just I should be able to go in the kitchen.
I know.
And just grab something. It'll be better for everybody.
Yeah, totally.
Andy, do you think you're dumber now that you're older?
Oh, no, definitely. Oh, no, I've been on Prevagen for... I like when they're on the Prevagen commercials where they actually say, I've been on Prevagen for about 5. Wouldn't you know exactly when you started Prevagen? But it's always approximate. I don't think I'm more discouraged since the pandemic. I mean, and then also this week and just generally, this is the going down like this towards prayer.
Society-wise, you're saying.
Career-wise, boom, 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 baby.
Right, mentally even.
Even.
Just watching the world crumble around you.
Yes,
that's the experience that you're having. Now, George, you've talked about gay couples sort of having a political failure and that they're having children.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that good that I said that? Is that progressive? I'm not sure.
Well, here's the thing. I've thought about this. And what I realized is I felt these two paths ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
One was a kind of empty gay existence of a year marked by different vacations.
Correct.
And new restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And disposable income and shirts, new kinds of
belts.
Shirts, belts, new shirt, a lot of talks of shirts and belts.
Yeah.
What's happening in duvets? You know, thinking a lot about what's the latest
new bed skirt.
New bed skirts, that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, that seems enjoyable, but ultimately empty, and I'll feel quite...
Well, it's an open concept, though. I guess.
Yes, it is. It is an open.
Well, it's kind of debating whether or not open or not open concept is good.
To live through a shift between the concepts, and then people finding the balance between the two. And I thought, oh well, I think then I would look back on that life filled with nothing but kind of regret,
but a beautiful renovation
and a beautiful space. And I thought, oh, I don't want that life. And then I see the kind of the version where you have kids, and I think, oh, that's probably really deeply fulfilling, but exhausting. And you give up all this sort of freedom of and the great part about being a gay couple.
Well, yes.
But you get the fulfillment of the people. And
you
then
lose your gay friends.
And you lose all your gay friends. And I thought, well, I don't want that one either.
I know. It's kind of, it's incredible how by sort of achieving equal rights, we kind of just put ourselves in a different bind.
Yeah.
It's like at least before the path was clear, you just go to Provincetown.
Right. And just, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's weird. I find myself like, as I get older, I find myself like unsure what my own political opinions are. And then I'll say something that will surprise me negatively. And the other day, someone was like, do you want kids? And I found myself saying, this is going to not, you guys are not going to like this. I found myself saying without realizing it, I was like, I don't know. I think it's kind of creepy when gay guys have kids. And I was like, what? I did not know that was something that was buried in my brain. And then I was like, so instead of like walking it back, because obviously I don't actually believe that, instead of being like, sorry, I'm on mushrooms, you know, I like dug deeper. I felt the need to like justify what I was saying. And I was like, well, okay, so let me explain. Like, you know, it's like when my rich gay friends have kids, it feels like they're giving themselves a trophy. And then when my poor gay friends have kids, it's like, you know, what are you, Christian? Like, I was like, what are you trying to say? And I actually think that person I was talking to like hasn't spoken to me since.
I like the way you put air quotes around equal rights.
Yes,
that was equal rights.
You know, it's I don't know.
Do you believe in equal rights, Andy?
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't, that would be bad, right? How do you not believe in equal rights? No, but I believe that the new, what they're saying about trans people is the same thing they said about gay people. And then you have people like Martina Navratilova using the same arguments that were used against her to now say about trans people. I don't know if that's not funny, but it's depressing.
It really is sort of like, can you guys zoom out and look at the patterns here? It's like not hard. Like you're using family values language.
The people that cause most of society's problems are people that cannot see the patterns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of patterns that people could see. They might make some changes.
Correct. You'd think Martina Navratilova, terrific tennis player, you know, good at noticing patterns, hopefully, on the court. Not in life.
Yeah, that's true.
All under the guise of the biggest horrible, most horrible thing would be if a trans person played in the sport and they were actually I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
right?
By the way, it's sports, okay? It's not like the church. Like, since when is our sports so sacred? By the way, I think trans people should also be priests.
Isn't there a trans...
But this idea that, like, that's the stump card, it's... or. Some Trump card, like that sports is the thing people care about. Who cares who's playing in sports?
Not me.
Am I crazy?
And I love sports.
Even if
I
was conservative, even if I was literally transphobic, I'd be like, they can play volleyball.
No, it's the most important thing. You're being, you sound crazy right now.
You're really.
Andy, you give a state of the comedy industry address, and then we still have a comedy industry, so you're still doing it?
No, because once the pandemic ended everything, and I used to do when I used to do the address, I would do it in Montreal, and all the people from the industry were there. So it was, but now there really isn't an industry anymore. Like nobody's, I can't talk about the new shows on ABC because there are no new shows on ABC. So it's like there's no market for it right now for the state of the industry, but. I was going to say, what was I going to say? I was going to say something.
You said that you were going to make a joke about transubstantiation because about the priest thing. I saw you working on something about
that. No, I think I remember now. Like, I'll do this joke now, but it won't even, they don't know the reference. Okay, so I go, Tim Allen's in a new sitcom. Well, nobody knows that really anymore. In the old days, they knew Home Improvement, right? So he's in a new sitcom, and in the first episode, his wife commits suicide while he's watching Fox News.
Is that a real thing that happened in the episode?
No, no, but you see, do you people not know that Tim Allen is a MAGA? This is where I'm losing touch, John.
No, I don't think, I think that was their fault for sure.
Okay, I did this joke for years that no longer gets a laugh.
Let's hear
the
it.
Joke is, who died and made Jim Belushi a big star?
Whoa.
Too, too soon.
You guys.
That's good. I see it. Yeah. No,
solid.
That doesn't play anymore. It seems to get a response.
So I got a half and half.
What's that's give like, us another? Give us
people
another.
People are more mad about that than trans priests.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. What's another joke you think won't work?
Well, I used to do things like if you go into show business, take the high road. There's no traffic. And this was the delivery I would have normally.
Well, that's good. That's a classic.
That's just a classic. And you have a podcast called Thought Spiral.
Yes.
And that's, are you spiraling up?
Well, it's me and my friend J. Elvis Weinstein, and we advertise it as...
And that sounds Jewish.
It is Jewish. But we are not Netanyahu Jews, okay? And we advertise it as two Jews, two microphones, 2 hours. We have no guests. And we just talk, and we have no following or audience.
Wow, that's brave of you to say. Can you give us one other just dated joke?
Let me see if there's a...
I'm enjoying... Because, Andy, I just want to say, like, I remember when I was first... Like, you were somebody that was just... Part of like when I was watching stand up when I was a kid, to be honest, and like on comedy, you were just one of the like old school road comics that I loved. That's what you were. And television. No, but you were there when like comedy was really about how you succeeded or died, like
that's right.
In the clubs, and that feels like it's changing. And I like hearing the jokes from that. Period.
Well, that type of, see, I'm actually working on jokes now that I believe that nobody can get, and that's my goal. And here's a joke that I have now that nobody can get. I said, Roy Rogers was often triggered by his horse. Triggered by his horse, okay?
We got that
if
one.
You're young, you have no idea who Roy Rogers is, right? And if you're over 50, you don't know what triggering means.
Right,
so it's right,
right
in that it's- sweet spot. Right in the sweet spot.
That's good, right. The Venn diagram of people that would understand it would be so small.
Do you think that in 20 years some twink is going to be like, you were there at the heyday of live podcasting?
Oh, that's hot. Oh my God, that made me want to fucking die. I hope so.
Yeah, of course. That's all we can really hope
that's
for.
That's the best you can. Yeah. What else? Because if we have a society at all.
Right.
Why do you have bigger cards than I do? I don't like that at all.
Because I think you brought those from home.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Whereas I'm off book.
Speaking of feeling medically dumb, you came
nice
up a
segue.
While ago.
I like that segue.
Thanks. This week has left us all with a lot of questions, specifically about the news, which is why Andy and George and I are going to help answer the question, is this good? Ooh. I'm going to give you a topic, and then we're going to flip a comically large coin made of wood to determine who will argue for yes, it is good versus no, it isn't.
Okay.
Oh, that's a...
We flip a coin to decide which side we're on?
That's right.
Oh, I like that.
That's right. And of course, it helpfully says yes or no.
Yeah.
All right. First up, we have RFK Jr. flips the food pyramid. This week, Health Secretary RFK Jr. revealed the new updated food pyramid, which is now upside down with a greater emphasis on meat and whole fat dairy products balancing on a point of whole grains and bread. While most people aren't going to rush out and change their diet based on the new pyramid, it does inform what food is served in public schools and military bases and what gets covered by federal food aid program. Kennedy also stuck to a 2024 Biden era rule that encourages Americans to eat more grains and less sodium, sugary drinks and processed foods. All right. Let's see. George, you're going to be pro or con. This is going to be for you. You're in favor of the new pyramid. Andy, you're going to be against. George, you have 30 seconds
to
defend this new pyramid.
Well, I think this is stunning. And first of all, I've never really understood how the food pyramid works to begin with. And do you guys remember when they changed it and made one side exercise?
Yeah.
So they've now, I actually think that the liberals changed it so much that it made no sense. And I think it's time we go back to real American eating, which means whole grains, steak, and avocados, which I saw in that food pyramid. I still don't really understand what, I don't know if the nodes are the good ones or the top or the bottom, but I'm going to be following it to a T.
Thank you,
boom,
George.
He didn't go over his time. Yeah. I like that a lot.
All right, now you're against this new pyramid.
I'm against the new food pyramid. Well, I'm not against so much the food pyramid. I'm against the existence of RFK Jr.
All right.
This might be the greatest food pyramid ever. And in fact, in some ways, I except for the design of it and it looks crazy, I might follow a couple of things. But I hate RFK Jr. so much that I will never talk to Cheryl Hines again. And...
And was that a problem for you? Or are you constantly?
No, I turned on Cheryl. I did the State of the Industry because I would always get in trouble for like I hated Louis C.K. before there was a reason to, right? So I'm always unpopular opinions, and that's why it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder.
Are you rebutting it now?
No, I'm not. Sorry, I keep forgetting I'm not supposed to speak constantly. Go.
No, speak constantly, please.
Okay, like what is this?
I think it's oatmeal.
So it looks like, okay, here's the thing. It looks like it could be like yogurt and fruit, but also these look like kidney beans.
Oh.
And this could be like cottage cheese or like milk. I just like, this is like a sort of impressionistic drawing to me. Like, what does it mean that olive oil is right here? Does anyone know?
I also think it also feels a lot of politics went into what kind of foods are here. Right, like first of all, I'm very surprised there's no corn on this thing because usually at some point somebody is like, "We got to get some fucking corn on there, Iowa corn."
This is actually a very un-American, considering it's so MAGA. I'm like, this is a pretty like faggy food pyramid. Like, I'm like, the salmon is so gorgeous and stunning. The avocado right in the middle, it's like this fresh California avocado. This is very like squirrel.
Whatever we do, they're saying, whatever you want to do, there should be no artistic merit to
it.
Whatever your plans are, make it ugly and badly drawn.
And one other thing is, in the actual official documents, it says how much protein you need per kilogram of body weight. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, you fucking MAGA freaks. This is America. Pounds.
True.
I cannot believe the one thing... Pounds are great. I like fighting for them. I want us to keep on the non-metric system. Metric system can eat shit as far as I'm concerned. I like what system we're on. And that's one thing I think we should fight for.
It's nice that we're all kind of critiquing this from the right.
All right. Next up, we have Marco Rubio as the ultimate Florida man. On Tuesday of this week, CBS News anchor Tony DeCoppel hosted a segment praising the many lives and many jobs of Marco Rubio, airing a meme of Rubio suited up for a variety of gigs, including the Shah of Iran to the Michelin Man. Let's roll the clip.
And now AI memes have added to that portfolio, casting Secretary Rubio as the new governor of Minnesota, the new Shah of Iran, the prime minister of Greenland, the new manager of Manchester United, the head of Hilton Hotels, and highest of high honors of all, the new Michelin man.
The segment concluded with this actual line.
Marco Rubio, we salute you. You're the ultimate Florida man.
Is this good? Let's see if Andy's going to have to defend that. He's not. George, you think this is good.
Oh, I'm going first?
Yeah, just what happened.
Here's the thing.
The pro is always first.
You know, okay, I actually think they think they're doing something with this handsome guy with the hair. And I think the fact that he's flopping so hard is good. Like, I think this is kind of like putting into plain sight how stupid the new CBS News Barry Weiss situation is, because everyone is making fun of it. Like, this is a stupid segment. So I think it's good. I think it would be much worse if the person in charge of doing this was like super competent and like very good at his job. I think it's good that we're all kind of like self-evidently laughing at it.
Ooh, that's smart. It's interesting.
Thank you.
He twisted it.
He went the other way with it, is what you did.
No,
I'm saying it's good.
I think he said it was good.
Yeah. He didn't flip the pyramid. He flipped the script.
That's right.
Forget this crowd. I've had it with this crowd. Now, what am I arguing is not good? Marco Rubio or the news?
That CBS is doing this to the CBS Evening News.
Oh, well, there's, you know, I've been against this Barry Weiss way back when she was defending Sam Harris and atheism. And the thing is, I don't think any of it's good. And I don't think it's an emergency. We need to yell out the window or something about it. This is the worst... It's not good argument that's been on the show, I think.
No, you're doing great.
Oh, that's right.
Terrific.
So, yeah, there is something perverse about a bunch of people who collectively never watch CBS Evening News tuning in to be like, this is terrible and really bad for the country. It'd be like, you didn't know CBS. You could not tell me who was hosting it. Everybody right now, shout, who was the host of the CBS Evening News before Tony DeCoppo? Nobody fucking know. You don't know. I don't know.
Jenna Bush Hager.
It's sort of more to me about how, like, this is like a dying thing.
Yeah, completely.
And this is like a sad maybe end to a dying thing, but overblown in its importance, because the issue is not how liberal or conservatives at CBS News is collectively how are we getting our information, and the answer is from nowhere.
Yeah, completely.
But are they going? Is it straight up comedy? Is it like
No, I think they're basically sort of coming for the Fox News demographic, from what I understand. Which, to be honest, from a purely capitalistic perspective, I'm shocked it hasn't happened so far, because basically what happens with evening news is Fox News has all the conservatives, and then all the other networks have to share the, like, center and center left. So I'm sort of shocked so far no other network stepped in. I mean, I understand that there's, like, what's the cable Trump one?
OAN or Newsmax?
Yeah, I understand there's those, but, like, of the big ones, don't you think some money grabbing, like, crazy person would have, like, stepped in at ABC News and been like, let's try right wing?
I just fundamentally, for sure. I mean, the problem I have with all this is that, like, okay, Barry Weiss is running CBS News. How conservative is CBS going to get? Are they going to run the stories they said they were going to run on 60 Minutes? Like, there's a lot of kerfuffle about the stories getting pulled, like the Epstein story and this other story. And it's like, are they going to run them? Are they changing them? Is it really are they really Trump plans? Like, the nightly 30-minute evening news broadcast is a stupid way to get information.
Completely.
It's a stupid, like, who is this for? We all get the news all day on our phones. It used to be was competing against nothing. Now it's competing against everything. Like, are there any people genuinely being like, I wonder what happened today?
Yeah, it's like, late 20th century critique of being like, Walter Cronkite was censored. It's like, right, but there are 5 billion other people that are telling you, like, everything you need to know.
All right, last one. We're going to do Nicolas Maduro's Nike sweatsuit going viral. Maduro went viral this week, not just for his arrest and extradition to the United States, but for the gray Nike Tech sweatsuit he wore during transportation in a photo shared by Trump on social media. The photo apparently caused a spike in Google user searching for Nike Tech and inspired the menswear conversations across the internet and also right here on the Love It or Leave It stage. Is this look good? George, you say yes.
I think that it is good. And, you know, the whole thing with gray sweatpants, of course, is that you want to see bulge. And I think it's good that I don't know if you noticed, you see no bulge there. And I think that is probably healthy long term, that we did not see Maduro's bulge.
We didn't go through a Maduro bulge.
We did not, because there could have, you know, because we're in the same corners of the internet, that if there was bulge, we wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, I would know about it.
You would know about it. And so I think it's pretty much very good.
I would have heard about it in high school, bulge. I had another joke I wasn't going to do. National Action Network is a...
Yes.
I was head of the National Action Network in college. So nobody knows.
I just think you didn't commit to it, Andy.
Yeah, well, I think I've been defeated. That's why.
No.
No.
First of all... And now you think that that Maduro being transported in the Nike tracksuit is bad.
You think it's bad.
It's bad because, I mean, I don't care about the fact that they're trying to decapitate the head of a government. I don't care about that. But if you're going, I don't care about, rounding up everybody in America, including me. But you have to give someone a decent amount of time to get ready. You know what I'm saying? You go in there, you go, okay, we're taking you. But you get to have a 5-minute thing where you can pick a Christy Nome cowboy hat or whatever you want to go in.
Yeah, like, I guess what I don't understand
they should have put him in the Joanne pink cowboy hat to transport him.
Yeah. I will say, having worn this kind of Nike pant where there's this seam that's above the knee, it sucks. It's not where you're hinging. It's a bad spot for a seam. It's uncomfortable. And also, who's using the arm pockets? Like, what does it mean? When they put tech next to sweatshirt, what is it meant to tech? What tech? What? Like, what are we doing with these vertical pockets?
His pants are unhinged. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's...
Yes.
That's what you hate about Maduro.
I'll tell you, I haven't seen an unhinged something since the Ayatollahs.
Now you're getting into the rhythm.
Wow.
George, you have a stand-up special called A Sense of Urgency, and it's on demand now.
Correct.
And I really recommend it. It's very good.
Thank you.
Very funny. and your podcast, Straight to Love. I've been a guest. It's
You've been a guest twice? Twice. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I'm in the two-time club on Straight to Love.
What's the name of your podcast?
Straight to Love. It's a pun on
Radio
Lab.
Oh, I love that because I also despise Radio Lab.
Well, it's, of course, one of the worst things that has ever happened.
It's one of the worst things ever just by sound.
And Andy, give us one joke about Bob Dole.
Bob Dole? What is he, a pineapple? Come on.
All right.
Oh, Bob Dole.
Wow.
Let me, I've got two words that will make Bob Dole angry. Elizabeth Dole. I don't know what it means, but.
It's really good. Good. Really good. Andy's podcast, Thought Spiral, you could be one of the first listeners. And then
that's right. Get in on the ground
and
floor.
And his album, Hence the Humor.
This I'm very excited about. It's a download. Please download it.
It's a, you gotta download it. It's a download.
It's a download.
It's a download.
It's an audio. There's no visual.
There's no visual. It's an audio download. All right.
You're killing me.
This has been very fun. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by SimpliSafe. When it comes to home security, you want to feel like you've picked the system that actually keeps trouble away, not one that just tells you something bad has already happened. That's why you need a SimpliSafe home security system. It isn't just another alarm. It's designed to help stop crime before it stops. SimpliSafe uses AI-powered cameras outside your home to spot real threats and instantly alert live agents. And it adds a couple boobs to the images, which is cool.
Woo!
That's what makes it different from the rest. Those agents can actually take action while the intruder is still outside. They talk to them through the camera, let them know they're being watched and the police are on the way. And if needed, they can blast a siren and light them up with a spotlight. I set up a SimpliSafe, incredibly easy to do, works really great. The app is great. You can customize it to your home. Customer support, really reliable. And it just gives you peace of mind. Other systems might give you a camera and a notification, but they need you to see the alert and handle it. SimpliSafe's monitoring agents have your back, even when you're busy, asleep, or on a plane. SimpliSafe protects over 5 million Americans, and they have been named Best Home Security Systems by U.S. News & World Report for 5 years in a row. And right now, you can get 50% off any new system. This month only, it's a great time to upgrade to security that actually helps stop crime before it stops. Go to simplisafe.com/love it. That's simplisafe.com/love it. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by AG1. AG1 is the daily health drink that combines your multivitamin, pre and probiotics, superfoods, and antioxidants into one simple green scoop. It's one of the easiest things you can do to support your body every day. The new year is often a time when we commit to building better habits or refocusing on improving our health. AG1 can help you work towards those goals by supporting energy, digestive regularity, immune defense, and a healthy mood. Most resolutions are hard to maintain, but one scoop of AG1 every morning is one of the easiest things you can add to your routine to keep you on track this new year. There's no better time than now to kickstart your journey to better health with AG1 Next Gen. AG1 Next Gen is a daily health drink clinically shown to support gut health and fill in common nutrient gaps with 75 plus ingredients, including 5 probiotic strains. AG1 replaces the need for a multivitamin, probiotics, and more. It's great to start every day. You can do it with a smoothie, and then you know you're getting your vitamins, you're getting your probiotics, and just starting every day, right? It's a good change you can make in the new year when you're keeping those New Year's resolutions you make. Because, you know, something's got to give. AG1 is their best offer ever. Head to drinkag1.com/love it. You'll get the welcome kit, a morning person hat, a year's supply of vitamin D3 plus K2, an AG1 flavor sampler, and you'll get their new sleep supplement, AGZ, for free, which can be a game changer for your nightly routine. That's $126 in free gifts for new subscribers. That's drinkag1.com/love it.
And we're back. My next guest is also a podcaster, meaning we have a full-time lineup of podcasters tonight, or as it's known in the scientific community, a murder of podcasters. Please welcome to the stage, it's Jamila Jamil.
Yay!
Yay!
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Now, in addition, I lost the intro
Hi.
Card for you. That's
Hello.
Fine.
Hi.
Nice to
Hello.
Meet you.
Hi.
Meet
How
you.
Do you do?
You both have big followings online. I'm very excited about it.
You too could be one of Andy's first podcast
yes.
listeners.
Oh my God. What an
if
honor.
We just do, it's a race after to get in there. You get a little prize if you're first. And it's so exciting. It must be, it'll be weird to record it knowing other people might hear it.
Well, we still call them test shows. This is absolutely true. We've been around since 2000, and they're all test shows. But when we go live, I'm taking my career public next year.
Now, Jamila, your podcast, Wrong Turns, is all about sharing humiliating stories with no silver linings.
Yes.
No silver linings.
None. No, I'm done with inspiration. Right? Do you know what I mean? I think we just need to leave it. In 2025, I'm anti-inspiration. I'm pro-commiseration. I think that I'm not someone who can make lemonade out of lemons. I can't make anything. I just make a bigger mess. And I've decided to start a community called Wrong Turns for other people who also fucking suck at life. And so we tell our most embarrassing stories, and the public get to feel very smug after listening to it because they are not as stupid as us.
I like that. I do think sometimes in our culture, you're not supposed to tell a story about yourself until you've successfully gotten to the correct psychological space about it.
Yes.
Like, you're not allowed to talk about some aspect of your personality if you're still in the middle of what a therapist would tell you you need to work on.
Yeah, right? I don't do that. I like to raw dog.
Just get it out right in the middle. Wait, yeah, so what's a recent example of a wrong turn with no positive part to it?
Not super recent, but during sex, he put it in the wrong hole, and I immediately said, unexpected item in bagging area. And then that ruined the sex, and then the sex stopped happening.
Wow.
Well, this is a good
Does
joke,
that
though.
Count?
I
think it would have turned you on from the sound of...
Is there really a wrong hole?
I'm sorry, you think you ruined the sex by making an iconic joke?
I think the person that
put it in the wrong hole, not to, you know.
Don't
I feel
judge
like that
the holes.
Person ruined the sex.
But yeah, no, there are many things.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Generally, I find my life is quite embarrassing. What about yours?
Oh, yeah, I just sort of power through. That being in any kind of public facing, anything where your job is making something for others to consume, there's no dignity left in the art. You have to just power through. We're all marketing executives for our own surrender. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also,
that came from.
It's very deep. I find many comedians are sort of like almost mining for humiliation and trauma so that they have something that they can talk about on stage. So it's a very handy format for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really just an extreme version of a humiliation fetish, one could say.
100%.
Yeah, but not Andy goes the other way with it.
I go the other way that I am humiliating and I don't deserve anything because I'm less than.
Are you British?
I'm I'm not, but that is
you
that
sounded
the, is
really
that
British just then. That is the vibe, yeah.
Explain Ricky Gervais to me. Thank you.
I can't, unfortunately. No. Goes over my head.
Ah, The Office is so good, though.
Yes, well, he's so cerebral.
The Office was good.
The Office was good.
But it's also because Stephen Merchant is a genius.
Yes. Stephen Merchant, a genius.
Yeah, national treasure.
Sort of like how Larry David was the genius and not Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay, stop it. Get out of here with that.
I mean, that is wrong.
I mean, am I right?
100% right, absolutely.
No, I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't like Curb Your Enthusiasm, so...
Oh, my God, Andy, come on.
How can you not like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Seinfeld was
Does
the
it
best...
Does it feel a little close to home?
No, it's just... What is it? No, everybody ends up... It always goes crazy on his shows. I like it. Does it always have to be that there's a twist and a thing goes around? I like the initial yelling, like with Richard Lewis, that kind of thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
Hey, okay.
He also brought us Cheryl Hines, Larry
wow,
David.
Wow, way to bring it
he
back.
He introduced
That's right.
Cheryl Hines and made her more famous.
In that sense, if it wasn't for Curb, Donald Trump would not be president.
That's yeah. what I'm trying.
Wow, I guess I never thought about it that way.
I almost got killed because of Donald Trump not long
what
ago.
What do you mean?
Well, I was speaking at the UN.
Wow.
Whoa. Me too, I'm doing the late show.
They still have that?
Yeah.
But now it's just a speaker series.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Dynasty Typewriter.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Was it UN or UNX?
Okay, I got it. Yeah.
All right.
So I was speaking at the UN and I was late and I was writing my speech on my phone while walking and I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. And then I hear this like bzz, bzz, and I have this kind of long Final Destination issue with bees where they're just out to get me and they're trying to kill me. These ones weren't, but I'm an egomaniac who thinks that they were. So the bees were using the zebra crossing, which I find insane that they would wait until we all walked and then they came along across the road with us. I'm terrified of bees because of fucking my girl. Not fucking my girl. From the film My Girl.
Went over my head. So the kids exactly. watch that, right?
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. The kids who are now 43.
I freak out and I start screaming and flailing my arms and running towards the UN. where Donald Trump is speaking in the UN, which I don't know. So all the machine guns go up because there's a big Pakistani dressed in black running at the UN where the president of the United States is. And I almost got gunned down. My friend clocked it before I did and tackled me to the ground. I was like, she's safe. She's just crazy. And I survived narrowly.
And, well, thank that's you. Good.
Fucking the 9/11.
Bees, so you were chased by the bees?
I wasn't really chased. I felt chased. I was just accompanied.
This is just Am a story of you running at the UN. Yes. Running towards the UN.
Yeah, because I thought I was being chased by bees that really had no interest in me.
Because chased earlier you with a TE at the end, right?
Yes, very exactly. Chased.
Am I crazy? Correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be completely off base. Did you once write something about a bee-related accident?
Oh, I can't stop talking about
it. Okay. I'm glad it wasn't someone else.
All I do is talk about different times.
Okay, that's one of your main...
I felt persecuted.
That's sort of one of your
it's
main
It's my entire
things.
Identity. Okay. There's nothing else to me than my relationship with bees. It's going to be how I die. So it's going to be how I die.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And they'll make a movie about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's why you hate Jerry Seinfeld, because he made Bee Movie.
What a cunt.
She means that in a British way, right?
So you also recently had sort of can we just roll the clip? I just want to understand what happened in this incident.
Oh, Christ.
Let's roll the clip.
I'm getting ready for bed, and in the morning, I'm going to be interviewed by Martha Stewart on stage in New York in front of so many people. And I forgot that tonight I let my friend write balls deep across my neck.
Oh.
Balls deep. And I'm wearing a dress for Martha Stewart that is definitely not going to cover that.
So
basically, my skin is drier than Gandhi's anus, and
well, that's
the tattoo took far too well to my throat, and no amount of wipes or alcohol. I was at one point pouring straight minibar alcohol like onto my neck, and nothing would come off. And so eventually I had to claw it off. So I lost several layers of skin. And then it just looked like I'd been choked in front of Martha Stewart on stage.
So, okay. But so why, if you hadn't had Martha Stewart,
yes. I let it happen. I was lost in the moment on my friend's podcast. I was like,
yeah. It was on a podcast.
It was on a podcast. He was like, can I write balls deep across your throat? And I was like, sure, that would be fantastic. And then got home and just as I was brushing my teeth, realized, oh, holy fuck.
We have Martha Stewart the
next day. I have to see Martha Stewart in
the
morning.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And she instead just thought I'd done a lot of choke fucking the night before or asphyxie wank, you know. I think she wasn't a fan, you know.
I feel like if anyone would love the idea of an asphyxie wank, it would be Martha Stewart. Don't you think she's kind of freaky?
I should have left balls deep on. I feel as
Do you mean like basketballs on the floor? What does it mean, balls deep? Like a lot of basketballs?
Balls deep. No, I think you.
No, I really want you to do it.
Really want
you. I think it would be so much more powerful coming from you.
I think it's... I could be wrong, actually, because I'm quite innocent. I imagine it's when you're so... When your penis is so deep inside of a woman or a man that your balls are almost shoved in there with it.
You know, thank you for being inclusive.
Nothing else that could get in. Of course, I am an ally.
I know. I could tell.
My nickname was Ball Shallow in high school.
Yeah. Just the tip.
Just the tip. Yeah. Just the tip Andy, they called him.
Ball Shallow. Terrible nickname. So embarrassing. Wait, you have a new Netflix movie.
I have a new Netflix movie. It's called People We Meet on Vacation. I mean, I'm really very blink and you miss it, but I am in it technically. And I have a podcast called Wrong Turns.
Now, I've gathered you all tonight for a very special segment we're calling Hey, Have You Heard About This? It's a segment built entirely around watching Andy Kindler's violent reaction to things he most likely hates. George Jamil and I will present topics we're pretty sure Andy doesn't know about. Andy, you're going to give us your honest gut reaction.
Okay.
Here we go. First up, Jamila, you wanted to talk about tradwives.
Fucking tradwives. Have you heard about tradwives?
I am all over it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is.
Okay, fine. So a trad wife is, in this day and age, is a woman who's got a social media following who tells other women not to work and to stay at home and just do housework while she herself makes money and gets brand deals and secures her own financial independence. So women kind of perpetuating the propaganda, the kind of like post-war propaganda of like having their hairstyle in a 50s style and cooking everything from scratch.
What's wrong with that, right, guys?
100%. But these women are making money. They have camera teams, they have hair, they have makeup. So they're making bank securing their independence while telling other women not to work. And they can go fuck themselves, I think.
But also, wouldn't it be fun if you pivoted to doing that?
I want to sell weight loss stuff.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Just to trigger the internet. Yeah. Just to really just keep everyone on their toes.
You weight should loss go month trad by, wife.
Yeah, weight yeah. loss
oh
trad
Oh my God,
wife.
I want to be a weight loss trad wife so bad.
Next up, George, you were going to tell us about Fujoshis.
Yeah, do you know about this?
No, what is that?
Okay, Fujoshi is something that has been trending because of the show Heated Rivalry. So basically, it's this Japanese term for women that like watching media where men have sex.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like women who are either entertained or even more so turned on by two men in romantic and sexual situations. And so this show, Heated Rivalry, which is about two gay hockey players,
heard about
written
this from
by
Andy
a
Cohn.
Woman.
Andy Cohn talked.
Andy, well, and he's a friend, of course.
The only gay information that yes, Andy Kindler Andy has is from Andy Cohn.
Well, you should have him on your podcast. Then you'll get some listeners. So there, Heated Rivalry, there was another show called Red, White, and Royal Blue, which is about, it's a fantasy about like if the prince were gay and fucking an American politician's son. And that was also written by a woman. So there's this epidemic, the real epidemic, actually, which is women writing gay male stories.
Female horniness epidemic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so that's what that is. What do you think?
I'm so confused. I'm all over it. I say yes. Give me four of them.
I think that you should turn your podcast into a Heated Rivalry We Watch show.
Yeah.
I think people would honestly genuinely enjoy you watching that show and describing your experience of it.
I think that would not be good, John.
And you hadn't heard about that. You don't know about Fujoshi.
No, I did not. And I don't know if I need to have heard about it, but I know I'm glad that I did and that you had that picture of me with somebody else's arms around my head.
Where does the word Fujoshi come from?
It's Japanese.
Ooh,
not my story to tell.
It means rotten girls.
It reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite words, which is, I think, kushiyasabishi. Have you heard this word?
And what does that mean?
It's when you eat not because you're hungry, but because your mouth is lonely.
Wow.
Oh.
Why I take Manjaro. That stops that.
I like to be hangry. Hangry?
Yes.
I punch myself in the mouth with a sandwich.
Oh, wow.
That's from my act, John. Right from my act to this show.
This could be huge for your weight loss era, is if you like take that term and you're like, I can cure it.
Yeah. 100%.
Jamila, you wanted to talk about skinny talk.
Yeah, so TikTok has this side of it called Skinny Talk, and there's a slogan that's gone viral that is stay skinny, stay safe. And I object to this, not only because it's fucking stupid, but also because it's illogical. Given that I was almost kidnapped when I was 19, someone put date rape drug in my drink while another guy came around on the other side and was distracting me. And a few minutes later, I must have passed out. But because I'm sober, everyone knew immediately there was something really wrong. So I was taken to the hospital by my friends. And then later the police come to the hospital and they take me back to the bar to watch the CCTV. And I have to stand there with the police and watch two men try everything they could to lift me. And they couldn't. Like, they were putting their knees into it. It was like, and because I was 19, I felt embarrassed about this, which is objectively insane because thank Christ they couldn't lift me. I was like, what did I want? To be like, I just want to be dainty enough to be trafficked. But I survived and was fine because stay sturdy, stay safe, all right? I was living in a bigger body and I'm alive to tell that tale. So that's just fucking bullshit, and it annoys me. There's nothing safe about being skinny. You can be lifted into a van at any point.
That's such an important point.
Thank you.
What is their
argument?
It
got quite dark, but I think in the end, we all agree.
What is their argument for Skinny being safe?
I don't know. I think like her brain might be dying because she's so hungry.
Well, maybe
so
she has a skinny brain.
Yeah, that's it.
The Good Place was so good.
Oh, thank you. That's such
a
great
segue. Remember The Good Place? Thank you.
What was that, a show you were on?
Yes.
Yeah.
How come who was in that show? You'll tell
Ted
me.
Ted Danson.
Oh, yes, I liked it. He's at the great, place where he's working on the play. He's in the thing where he went to work or something, right? Like that?
That's most of his shows.
Do you not have a problem with Ted Danson? I think you should.
No, isn't Ted Danson, he goes and works, or am I mixing him up with somebody else?
He goes and works?
He goes and works as an old man
yes,
somewhere.
Yes, yes, yes. That's Man
that's,
on the
that's
Inside.
A new
that's
show,
a new one.
Man
okay.
on the
Good
Inside.
Place
yeah,
is not
it's the
place
show before that, yeah.
What's TikTok? MySpace with an attitude?
Andy, you probably remember Cheers.
Yes, I do. Because I didn't get the part. Wouldn't that be a bad joke?
Would you go out for it? You go out for Coach?
I went out for Coach, and they were saying I was.
See that was a joke too old for them.
Well,
because
you
that was an insulting joke because Coach was the old man on the show. To say, did you go out for the old man on Coach was an insult to you.
It is, and I took it as an insult. But let me tell you something.
We're all on mushrooms, by the way.
Oh.
Once I was on.
That makes me feel much better.
Once I was doing a TV show, I'm not going to mention it, Everybody Loves Raymond, and they said to me, I was talking about, very loudly by the buffet table, nobody likes wings, right? No one's ever seen wings. It's one of those shows where, and the guy who was directing that week came up to me and said, I'm going to have to stop you. I created that show. And I said, Let me finish.
Who doesn't love wings? They're at the airport. Remember the show Wings?
I do not... No.
He should have apologized to me. I'm sorry I created that horrible show.
I once met Catherine O'Hara, and I wanted to tell her how much I loved her and how much my boyfriend loved her. And I was like, oh, my boyfriend just is so in love with you. He hopes that I look like you when I get old.
No.
Oh, great. I can't see
the
how that
worst,
would go wrong.
The worst feeling on earth. And she was so nice about it. She was like, oh, and I was like, no, older. There's no way to make it better.
No.
You can't claw your way back from that. What a fucking idiot I am.
Yeah, well, it's fundamentally a compliment because the age is objective.
I agree, but I don't think anyone wants to hear it framed exactly like that.
That's true.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. People keep asking about my 2026 resolutions. They don't stop grilling me about it.
Yeah, everywhere you go.
And I've got the usual goals. Read less. that kind of thing. But this year, there's one at the top of my list, to be comfortable. That's where Bombas comes in. They're bringing serious comfort to all of your everyday go-tos. The all-new Bombas sports socks are engineered with sports-specific comfort for running, golf, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, and all sport. They're cushioned where you need it most, sweat-wicking, and loaded with other tech features to keep me comfy and locked in. For those everyday around-the-house resolutions, Bombas also has you covered with the comfiest footwear imaginable. I just got a pair of the slippers. They're awesome. They have Friday slippers, which are kind of the ones you can wear to the pool if you wanted, but or just around the house or take the dog on a walk. They have luxurious Sherpa Sunday slippers that feel like walking on clouds. They have super comfy and lightweight EVA, the Friday sandal, which I really like. They have the new squishy Saturday suede slip-on shoes for comfort on the go. And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. I love Bombas. I'm wearing Bombas right now. I have a pair of the cushion no-show socks. They're awesome. They replaced my no-show socks that were terrible. It's such an upgrade. I wear them every day. I also wear the kind of sports socks. I wear the vintage striped ones whenever I go to the gym. They're awesome. Head on over to bombas.com/love it. Use code love it for 20% off your first purchase. Literally 100% of my socks are Bombas. BOMBAS.com/love it. Code love it at checkout.
And we're back. All right. Pod Save America is going to Australia and it's going to New Zealand. We're headed to Auckland on February 11th, and then three cities in Australia after that, Melbourne, Brisbane, and Sydney. That'll be on February 13th, 14th, and 16th. We'll be in Auckland on February 11th. It happens to be coinciding with the one night only concert of New Zealand's own Lord. So we are, of all the nights in history, for Pod Save America to be doing a show in Auckland, New Zealand. We are competing against hometown hero, Lord. So if you live in Auckland or can get to Auckland and don't give a fuck about Lord, there are tickets available to our New Zealand show. Plus, we have some great shows lined up in Australia. So go to crooked.com/events. Also, we just launched a new, brand new newsletter called Open Tabs. If you become a friend of the pod and subscribe on Substack, you could check out. It's by the person that heads up Pod Save America, about how we, not only just sort of how we put together and think about that show, but also sort of the broader context of what it's like to follow the news, think about the news, how we talk about the news. It's a great look at the experience of what it's like being people that are kind of paying attention all the time and figuring out how to talk about all of this. And it's just a great product. So if, I think you'll really like it. Go to crooked.com/friends to sign up to get to access to this newsletter and a lot of other great stuff. Really appreciate everybody who subscribes. It really does genuinely do a lot to help support Crooked, help us build out a progressive counterweight to right-wing news and misinformation. So thank you. It's been a week since the new year began, which is why we're going to close out the show by sharing one new pet peeve we've accumulated since January 1st in a segment we're calling New Year, New Ooh. Let's spin the wheel.
This seems like it's rigged.
It has landed on Andy. Well, the wheel doesn't really make sense because we're all going to go. So what is...
It created the illusion of excitement.
Yeah, that's right. The illusion, which, by the way, the illusion of excitement... That's called excitement. What, if you think about it, what is your new pet peeve of the year?
Well, my new pet peeve of the year is to get rid of slang. I mean, for years, and anybody who said my bad, I would have a stomach ache and leave the room. But now I think we have to put to bed these things where people have gone, it's been a minute, or it's a lot. You know, it's like nobody who, no Holocaust survivor, if you ask them, how, what was it like? It was a lot. When were you in the Holocaust? It's been a minute. I don't remember. I think I didn't prepare for the section, but I saved it at the end.
I enjoyed it, and I feel you.
Yeah, I do think the Holocaust was a lot. I mean, it's one of history's great a lots.
It's true.
I don't remember. That's what Shoah means.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. There's not a lot of people left who can remember what it's like because it has been, in fact, a minute. All right, let's spin it again.
Can't come on me again. I'll be very upset.
Jamila, it's landed on you. What is your first pet peeve of 2026?
People, I'm done with them. Let's get rid of them.
Agreed.
Bring the big quake. Bring the floods. The volcanoes. Every time when I heard about that spaceship that was 12 miles wide and it was coming to Earth, I was like, yes, take us. Take us all. We suck. So yeah, I'm in a good place. Happy New Year, everyone.
So it's not just so interesting. Because you could just move into the woods.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're done with people, you don't need to kill us all. You could just leave.
I wouldn't kill you all. I don't want to have to, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to have to do that.
But I'm just saying, if rather than the earthquake, if you're
Jesus
just so.
Jesus to take the wheel and let's just reboot.
Well, it sounds like you don't just want to not be around people. You don't want the people to continue being around when you're not there. So it's both a hatred of the people, but then a FOMO that overpowers
it. It's existential. I'm just like, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? It's a wrap. I'm done with us. And I think we need to go. And I think we need to start again. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
I think we can just tweak at the margins. All right, let's spin it again.
Okay, Kamala Harris over here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
Okay.
It's landed on George.
Mine is a little less dramatic than Jamila's. Mine is that I don't like Nespresso.
Yes.
Okay, here's my, this isn't a fully formed argument, but I'm like, coffee should either be amazing or it should be like shitty diner coffee. I don't like things that are almost good. Nespresso, it's like the promise of Nespresso is that it's going to be like real espresso, and it's
going to feel like George Clooney.
Yeah, it's not. It's more like sort of a Glenn Powell situation. It's sort of like 80% of the way there. And I actually love Glenn Powell, but it's like 80% of the way to real espresso. Just have shitty coffee. Just like get like pre-ground beans from CVS and do that.
I think Dunkin' Donuts coffee Dunkin' Donuts. Is one of the greatest coffee in the world.
There you go. It's sort of the Scary Movie 2 of coffee.
Yeah.
In that it's amazing, but also bad.
How do they make Nespresso? Can you explain to me what the... it's not
well,
like a
it starts with slavery. and then it works its way up to a plastic pod that puts microplastics in your system.
Yeah, it's sort of like... It's the intersection
the
of...
It starts with the reason Jamila has that accent, which is a group of people draw lines in random parts of the world to divide them into different sections and then have those different sections make different kinds of food, including the coffee beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the intersection of colonialism and microplastics, and that's kind of where I live.
Let's spin it again. We're almost done. Oh, it's
Lando
Lee.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you something that bothers me. So I booked a last-minute trip over the break to go to Mexico for 3 days because it was paid for 2 nights to get a third night free. I love a deal and I love using points. And
100%.
There are resorts that this is one of those resorts where something happens or something where some resorts have a culture of we fight for chairs and some of them have a culture of we respect the chairs. This was a fight for chairs resort and I like a fight for chairs resort. I don't mind it.
What, where you have to like get up at
people
4 o'clock in the morning
and they
to
reserve
go and
them
reserve
and there's
chairs,
always arguments about the chairs and rules about the chairs and I just love watching that unfold. Mm-hmm. I like getting there, get a spot and just let it all play out. Mm-hmm. There was just so many rude and angry people. It was literal Christmas and people are yelling at people that are just working on Christmas about where their chair went and where their bag went. I love it. I'm in. Fully fantastic. I am never more like horrified by what we've done to ourselves than when I see people at a resort, on a beach chair, on their phones. I find it to be like the greatest defeat like of a people. Like you flew here from far away.
I feel exactly the same
You're
way.
On the beach or at a beautiful place. You're on your phone, the same phone. The phone never changes. The phone is identical everywhere you are. What is on there right now? And how is it that, how is it that you have not figured out to leave this in your room for this one precious moment? Just leave this thing in your room for this one precious moment.
You can't leave it in your room because how are you going to take those terrible photos that you'll never look at again?
Of your feet and the sea
and
the sun
of a shell, you know what I mean? Like it's very important to be able to document those things. But I agree, when I see people looking at their phones in front of the ocean, I'm like, come on tsunami.
Come on tsunami,
let's fucking go.
Love it.
You know how to do this.
You know this is what you trained for. Tsunami. But it makes me crazy. It's like, it's not just that
I'm more mentally ill than you thought I was, aren't I? Yeah.
You're meeting expectations for me.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It's not just that obviously it's bad to be on the phone. It's that as part of this trip that required so much planning, there was no part of you that thought about the part where it would be nice to not be on the phone, which means like, are there a lot of people out there who are not only addicted to their phones, but seemingly unbothered by it? That's what makes me nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I am quite addicted to my phone, but never in front of the sea. I'm very sacred about nature.
All right, that's where we're going to leave it.
Oh. I didn't get to do my sea material.
Anything about George Tsongas?
George Tsongas, I'd like to hear less of his songs.
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Jamila Jamil, Andy Kindler, and George Tavares. We'll see you next week right here at Dynasty Typewriter. There are 296 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal
are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski, for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. Love it or leave it.